At the 400, Dulcify shot away 2.5 lengths imposing. Then Chivalry under the whip from Arbra Shane and Gypsy Kingdom. But Dulcify well clear. Brent Thompson going for his fourth Cox Plate. And he's got it. He's home, Dulcify. He's 6 lengths in front of Chivalry and then Arbra Shane imposing, stopping. Dulcify's won by a minute. And that's the way he might win the Melbourne Cup. Dulcify by...
What a call. The great Bill Collins. Dulcify's won by a minute. And it was 1979, the Cox Plate. And this is Doc's favourite Cox Plate. And Dulcify being the winner. Absolutely, convincingly, in that period of time, in that famous Cox Plate. We are heading up to Cox Plate weekend this weekend, of course. And you heard Bill talk about Brent Thompson winning his fourth Cox Plate. It was his third in a row, fourth in 5 years. It was some sort of little period for the Babe, who joins us this morning on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Brent.
Morning, Daniel. Morning, Adam and Dr. Turf, of course. It's always wonderful to hear that call of Bill Collins. He made many fantastic race calls, and that was one of them.
We even heard on that call there, Babe, the noise. Do you remember, obviously, as a jockey, you feel the noise?
Yeah, well, you know, I forget what crowds were in those times, Percy, but, you know, like any given Saturday was at least 30,000 people, so... And of course, I think they use the middle as well. But yeah, you could always hear that sort of crowd. I mean, I don't think there was any inside, vision there for me to turn around and look at myself. But I didn't need to.
Well, of course, there was a huge crowd on the infield as well. But he was a remarkable horse, Dulcify, a remarkable career in that he's in the history books as winning on debut at 300-1.
And 300-1.
300-1. I think Tony McAvoy tells the story, because I think he'd gone to the trials and flipped over or something like that, so he never trialled. I think Hayes may have had 3 or 4 in this maiden on debut, and he went around 300-1. And two starts after that, he won the South Australian Derby, so which in those days I think was run prior to the Victoria Derby in October. A freakish sort of horse. And his four-year-old year, which, of course, was that year that he won the Cox Plate, that's, I mean, you rode him in every start that career, Babe, and bar the Underwood failure, it was an astonishing campaign.
Yes, well, he came to Melbourne, and that was the first time I actually sat on his back was on Cox Plate Day itself, as a three-year-old prior to his run, and which he won the Derby the following Saturday. I think he ran second or third. What would probably be the Waterford Mile now? I know those races have changed with various over the various years with the, it was probably that race in this day and age. And it gave me a great feel, so I was fairly confident of him winning the Derby in itself. But yes, and then he went to Sydney and the Orton, won the Derby, albeit on protest. But prior to that, he won the Rose Hill Guineas, and I always say that was one of his best wins as well, because a full field, fast pace, and probably nearly last on the corner and one going away from them. He had an incredible turn of foot in the Cox Plate. And, you know, I sort of truly believe that he'd be one of those horses that you'd travel overseas in this day and age. He was certainly good enough in my eyes to do that. But not getting away from the fact he did, because he went to Perth, getting back to your story there. So he went to Perth, and I didn't go to ride him there. I stayed in Melbourne, and one of the great stories about him too was great, but not so great in terms that he had a bit of aversion to flying, and he wouldn't load. They had to push him out backwards out of the pallet, and he was brought back over the Nullarbor. And they had excessive heat, and he was well looked after at the time by Terry Ryan. And the float broke down. Terry went to a farm, I don't know how far he would have had to walk in the Nullarbor, to get water to basically save his life. And so he had an incredible career because, you know, he could have well died of anything prior to that, to his famous Cox Plate win.
That was a seven-length win, of course, over Chivalry, who I reckon beat him as a three-year-old, beat him in the Tancred or something like that before he won the AJC Derby. But that Cox Plate win, if you're betting in the run, 800 from home, he was $1.10.
Yes, well, I guess he was. You know, I was in a slight awkward position prior to that school bend there, and anyway, he snuck through a needle eye opening, and it wasn't my intention to let him stride there, far be it. But he just basically took control, and I was only a passenger. And I do remember thinking, if I get this wrong, I'll be looking for a new job on Monday morning. So, I didn't have many worries, really. And getting back to Chivalry, yes, he beat him in the Tancred, and he was a very high class weight for age performer in New Zealand, obviously. And then he looked like beating me in the McKinnon in the race prior to the Melbourne Cup, and Dulcify wore him down on the line. He probably got about a neck to a half length up on me, and I reckon it broke his heart, that horse. I think he failed to win a race afterwards.
Were you, what was that like in the McKinnon? Because you won the Cox Plate by seven, and then you're running in the McKinnon as a very short favourite, and you in the back of your mind, you've got to be thinking, I've got to look after him because he's running on Tuesday.
Sure.
So was that part of it? I mean, trying to look after him as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. We had another good, courageous mare called Minuetto, who won some good races herself. And she was a pretty bold, on-speed runner. And Walter Law rode her that day. She was sort of nearly the logical leader in the race. But she actually took a fair bit getting for both of us to get past. But I was very mindful of the following Tuesday. So I wanted to, you know, get him to the line, obviously, to win, but with the least effort. But I had to give him a few, and not excessively, but you know, I would have loved to have won by about three lengths looking over my shoulder. I did ride him, took him for a canter on the Monday morning, and he was so bright in himself. I just knew that the race hadn't taken anything out of him. Given that in this day and age, you wouldn't run a horse in the McKinnon, which actually doesn't even run out now on that Saturday Derby day, does it? It's the final day. But you know, training methods changed quite considerably over the years. Here we sort of more race to a European style of a minimum of 2 weeks in between them.
Just obviously being a Kiwi, would have ridden on some bottomless tracks, but one of your other Cox Plates on Fury's Order, was that the heaviest track you ever rode on in Australia? Because I think they called the meeting off after the Cox Plate, didn't they?
They did, I think one of the reasons, too, they had the three races. There was the Moya, the Valley Cup, and the Cox Plate, and they were run. But it was, I think, you know, jockeys put their hands up to a man and said, we're not going back out there. It was atrocious conditions, and it was certainly up there with Vanderhulme's Melbourne Cup, I guess.
And wasn't Princess Anne there, the Queen's sister, and didn't she lose a shoe? Didn't have to replate her?
I think it was seen floating down to about the 1,500 metres.
It was a bog.
hey, Brent, I'm keen to ask you about the uniqueness of the Moonee Valley track. You won four Cox Plates in 5 years on four different horses. So clearly you had an understanding of the track. Is it a skill to know how to ride on Moonee Valley or at Moonee Valley in a Cox Plate?
Yes, I think the valley, by you know, nature of its how it's set out, you ride it very much different to the three other metropolitan clubs in Melbourne, but somehow got it right, but I sort of formed the view that you could not be three wide. Let's assume it's the Cox Plate start. You had no chance if you were three wide at that 1500 meter point, or the mile going down the hill, because it was nearly impossible to ever get in from the 1200 to, let's say, the 800. So if you've worked wide throughout that that journey so far, you'll be running out of petrol before the final 200 meter corner. So I don't know. That was just something that I got it right over those years, and it was probably a bit different too, because it didn't quite have the camber in my time as it does now. So you know, we've seen Mackaybe Diva and some of those great horses, you know, come from, you know, widest on the corner. But again, if you look back at their journey prior to that, you'd find that they didn't do it hard in those, you know, the first, say, 1400 to 1600 metres of the journey.
Have you ever wondered why you were so mentally tough on the race course, yet you could be three up with two to play on the golf course and lose?
Yeah, I've thought about that. Maybe I was good at one thing and not good at the other.
There's an article in the paper today, Brent, from Shane Dye, talking about the whips and the current state of play with whips. And Octagonal wouldn't have won 80% of his races because he needed a really strong ride. He needed some incentive and encouragement to get rolling. Back in those days when you were winning all those Cox Plates, did you need to whip heavily, or were those horses just too good?
I going to the first horse, Fury's Order, that was just a war of attrition due to the track conditions. And,
yep.
You know, I sort of cringe a little bit when I watch some replays of some of those. But, yes, and I wouldn't have won it without the use of the whip or the stick then. Family and Man, he didn't need a whole lot of courage and encouragement, nor did So Called, and obviously Dulcify didn't either. But I think we've come a long way in terms of, you know, the padded crop whip, whatever we call it in this day and age. And you know, there are horses that are different to others that do need encouragement as well, like, you know, colts against fillies. You know, a colt, especially if he's a bit lively and a bit cheeky, you know, he needs a bit of encouragement to do his best sometimes. But you know, we I think it's great that the stewards and the rules are stricter today. But I do not ever believe that we should go down the path of no whip, because I think, and a lot of people would agree, some don't, that, you know, that it is also used as a safety measure as well.
Mm, yep. And what are you most excited about this weekend? Is it the Cox Plate, another Cox Plate where you get to relive all of your glories, or is it a chance to get to the Emerald?
Probably a little boat. be like escapism, I think. but I'm like the stuff, I'm looking forward to getting onto some good golf courses and not choking at the last. I've gotten over it, really.
Don't let him bully you, Brent.
We're talking about the Vanuatu Open here, aren't we, babe?
Yeah, we are.
I witnessed it with my own eyes.
Mind you, the bookies got at me there. They kept me. They made me sit out for half an hour. Used some poor excuse, and by that time, all my muscles had seized. And
there we go.
Nothing was working at all.
Yeah. No, yeah. The fix was in. That's what I heard. The fix was in. Hey, Brent. Been great to reminisce with you about the great Dulcify 1979 and one of the great Cox Plate memories. Hopefully we get another one on Saturday. Really appreciate your time.
Good on you.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend. Lucky one. Bye.
We will do.
Brent Thompson. The great man.
You hit a nerve there, too.
You still were upset about that, too.
It was very funny. It was, I tell you what, for a sort of a social golf event, I reckon there was more money turned over at that particular event than the Cox Plate this weekend.
But it is quite, as we go to the break, obviously, but it is quite an achievement, four Cox Plates in 5 years on four different horses.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like
he came
there was
here
three on Kingston Town or on Winks or whatever.
Rode in Europe for so successfully for so long. Great fella.
So Colin Hayes called Dulcify the best horse he trained.
You look at his record, I think it was only, guessing here, 16 starts?
21 starts, okay. 10 wins, 2 seconds, 3 thirds.
We're talking about AJC Derby, VRC Derby, Australian Cup, Cox Plate.
That 79 year you referenced, the Craig Lee Stakes, what's that called these days? It's something else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any one of them. A Derby, Rosehill Guineas, Australian Cup, Turnbull Stakes, McKinnon Stakes, Cox Plate, all in 79.
Yeah, and then, of course, the tragedy of the 79 Melbourne Cup, when I think actually the eventual winner, Hyperno, crashed into him from behind and broke him. He broke down, never, you know, fatal. Mm. And, well, you know, it was 800 or 1,000 from home, but you speak to them and they think he had the race in his keeping.
$3 favourite. I think going into that one, so the numbers tell me. And to pick you up off the SMS, someone says 330-1 on debut was the great Dulcify.
He's being picky. at those odds, by jingo.